So we're back looking on the Mishnah. The Gemara here on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis quotes the Mishnah, Kol Misha Huksaku Avosov Mishotre Arabim. So the Gemara says, L'meimra T'lo Mukminan Mipsulim. So what does it mean? What do we derive from the fact that the Mishnah establishes that Misha Huksaku Avosov? We're talking about Dayanim who are in charge of Dini Momenos, that they would never appoint someone as a dayan for monetary law if he was posel, if he didn't have a din of miyuchas. That seems to be the premise underlying this Mishnah. And therefore, if his havosav were amongst those who were appointed as dayanim for dini momenos, you don't need any bedik of his yuchsin, ureminu. We have a stira to this assumption from a different Mishnah, a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Hakol ksherim lodin bedini mamonis, v'ein hakol ksherim lodin bedini fashis. It would seem that there's a fundamental distinction between the laws that qualify, the requirements that qualify someone as a judge for a capital crime as opposed for who qualifies for a monetary law as a judge to deal with dini mamonis. And the Mishnah says, Hakol Ksherim Lodun Dini Mamonos, everyone, and what's the emphasis here on everyone? Hakol Asuye Mai, what is it coming to include? Rabbi Yehuda Asuye Mamzer, that even a Mamzer who's a Psul Kol can serve as a judge for Dini Mamonos. So why does the Mishnah say that if they checked out his ancestry, and lo and behold, there was a Dayan who was a Dini Mamonos, then he's certainly a Kosher? Rabbiye, Yerushalayim, there was a kpeda in Yerushalayim, even for judges in monetary cases alone, that they would only appoint someone who was a kosher, meaning he has yuchsin. And the Rishonim explain that in Yerushalayim, sometimes they were mailim me'adayonim shebezes shel shlosha l'sanhedrin shel chav gimel. If they saw a dayan who was appointed as a judge for Dini Momenos in a bezdin of gimel of three judges sufficient for monetary law, they would then, without even checking him out, they would upgrade him if they thought they needed an extra dayan for the great Sanhedrin of 23 judges who could also deal with Dini Nefashos. And once he was appointed as a judge in the Beis Shalch of Gimel, from there they would be Mala, they would even upgrade him to sit as one of the members of the great assembly, the great Sanhedrin Hagdola, that sat in the Lishkas HaGozis. And that's the way they did in Yerushalayim. So that even the judges who were appointed for the lower courts, the Beis Din of Dini Momenos of Shlosha, they would be checked out to make sure they're miuchasim, lest they be upgraded to a bezdin that deals with dini nefashos. Bottom line is that this halacha of our Mishnah of huchsuku avosa bishotri rabin that only applies in Yerushalayim, not outside Yerushalayim. The Mishnah continues, v'gaboy tztaka masin, you can marry the children of gaboy tztaka even for kahuna, and there's no need to check the ancestry. My time in the Gemara says, how do you know? What's the special status here of Gaboy Tztaka? Kevon de Minsu Bahadi Inshi. There was very often, unfortunately, an altercation, a little bit of a friction, a tension between the Gaboy Tztaka and the citizens of that particular municipality. And why is that? The Gaboy Tztaka would often collect money and confiscate money for the purpose of tztaka. The Omer Mar, there's a statement of one of the Amoraim Shememashkinin al Hatztaka Vafilu Berev Shabbos. If the decision was made by the Gaboy Tztaka that so and so has to contribute X amount of money and he refuses to do so, is Memashkinin, we could take an object from his house as a mashkon, just confiscate one of his possessions until such time that he redeems that mashkon by paying up for tztaka. And even though there's a rule that's established in Chulin and elsewhere that ain kofin al mitzvah shemat and schara b'tzida, in the case of tztaka, The Torah tells us quite often what the reward is for the mitzvah of tzedakah, and l'chora, with regard to such a mitzvah, where the reward is explicit in the Torah, for that particular mitzvah, there's no kfiyah. We do not force a person against his will. He has to come forth willingly. The Chachom have a drasha in Rosh Hashanah v'asisa. It says in the pasuk, in Kiteitzei Motzvah Sechav Tishva v'asisa, and that is a warning or a mandate that's addressed to the Beis Din, that they should force someone by taking a mashkon from his possessions to give tzedakah. And now tzedakah becomes an exception to the rule of matan schara b'tziden kofin aleha, because by virtue of this drasha, motzis vasecha tishmar v'asisa. And the word v'asisa is coming to teach me that we'll confiscate a mashkon. And even on Erev Shabbos, when a person is very preoccupied, very busy and tense about preparing the last minute for Shabbos, nevertheless, if he doesn't come forward to bring his tzedakah, to contribute his money, we will confiscate his possessions. And all the excuses about how busy he is on Erev Shabbos will not cut the mustard. And the bottom line is here that the gaboi tzedakah are in a position where they may suffer, you know, attacks and humiliation, and people hurl at them words of spitefulness and embarrass them, and try to say, you know, we know that you're about this gavoy tzedakah. You know, again, this is the resentment that's harbored by those whose possessions are being confiscated under the supervision of the gavoy tzedakah of Isa de Ika. And if in fact there is any psul in the yichus of this gavoy tzedakah islei kala, the word will certainly get out. It'll be spread. There'll be a rumor that moves like the speed of light, because those people who are, shall we say, ill affected by the powers and the authority vested in the gavoy tzedakah as he implements those powers against them, they will certainly pinpoint and emphasize any sort of psul that they know about, even a chashash of a shemitz psul in his yichus. And the Gemara now tells us a story about gaboy tzedakah that have to be ksherim b'yichus. The Gemara is going to say, based on this story, we see that you don't appoint a ger as a gaboy tzedakah. And the story goes, ushpezichne, which means the host of the Rav Ada bar Rava Giora Hava. Perhaps Rav Ada bar Rava used to frequent this ger's inn as a guest. There was a little bit of an altercation, some sort of riv and conflict that emerged between this ger, the owner of the hotel, and Rav Bibi, who is in charge of many. He was very involved in the community, and he and the ger were both contenders for the appointment as the supervisors of the city, the Srara. Srara means the leadership or the mayorship of the community. Mar Omar, one of them said, Ana Avidna Srarusa Demasa, I will dedicate myself to this appointment. And as we'll use the term the mayor of the city, Umar, and the second one similarly, Omar, he declared, Ana Avidna Srusa Demasa, and also the Kamid Rav Yosef. They both came in front of Rav Yosef that he should make the final call and decide who would be appointed as the Srara of the city. Omar Lahu, Rav Yosef said to them, Tanina, we learned in a brisa, Som Tasim Alecha Melech Mikerev Achecha Tasim. The Torah uses a double language of Som Tasim. What is the ribui coming to include? And what principle is being formulated by this pasuk? Kol mesimos, and it's any srara of an appointment over the community. Shata mason that you appoint, lo yeh, it should not be done migerim, ela, but rather mikerev achecha, Jews who have a lineage of Jewish ancestry. And Rav Bibi, therefore, since he has such a lineage, as opposed to the ger, he, Rav Bibi, is really the candidate of choice for this srara, for this mayorship, as we called it, in the city. Amalei Rav Ado bar Ava, Rav Ado, when he heard this, he turns to Rav Yosef with a question. Vafilo imo mi Yisrael. What would you say about the following case? A person is born to a marriage between a Jewish woman who has ancestry of Jews and a ger, a convert. What would be the status of that child? Is he called Bekerev Achecha? Or is he excluded from Kerev Achecha because of the fact that his father's a ger? And the implication here is that Rav Ado bar Ava was turning to Rav Yosef because his psak was questionable. He excluded, he bumped off that ger, but that ger had a Jewish mother. He was the son of a convert on his father's side. Amalei Rav Yosef answered, Imo mi Yisrael. If his mother is a Jewess, and that's her ancestry, is Mikerev Achecha Karinen Bey, that's considered Mikerev Achecha, and therefore he can be appointed in this Srara. And therefore, Rav Yosef has to go back now to the drawing board and decide, now that he knows that this ger has a mother who's not a gioris, his mother is a Yisraelis, Hilkach, he decides, Rav Bibi de Gavar Rabahu le'ayin b'mil d'shmaya. He again substantiates his original decision that Rav Bibi will be appointed as the mayor of the town, but for a whole different reason. Not because his contender was a ger and was outside of Kerev Achecha, but for a different reason entirely, li'ayin b'mili d'shmaya. It means that anything that has any spiritual content to it, any job that, in other words, we're going to split the mayorship into two distinct dimensions. When we talk about Mili Dishmaya, what we're talking about is overseeing the mitzvahs in the city, make sure that the Gabbai Tzedakah are appointed in there, gathering together the Tzedakah. For example, when there's Kriyas HaTorah, we have to make sure there's a Meturgam on who will translate the Torah. When there are Aliyos, we have to know who's going to give out the Aliyos, who's going to get Maftir. And all this should be given under the supervision, the appointment of Rav Bibi, who's a Gavar Rabbi, he's a great man. Umar, but the hotel owner, we're not going to exclude him from Sarara, from mayorship, but Liayin B'mili D'mosa, he will be in charge of Dini Mominus within the city. And there were many different monetary dimensions to the leadership and the supervision over the city. For example, who will be a Shomer Kli Zion? Who will serve to make sure that the city and its security needs are taken care of? Or for the case of Yoshev Bibayas Sheitzel Shara Ir, who will be appointed as the mayor and will sit near the gates of the city? Who will oversee the Chafiras Boras Ushtias Mayim, make sure that there's ample water supply for all the members of the community, make sure that there are doors in the Shar Ha'ir that are functioning properly, people come in and out of the city? All this will come under the charge of the hotel owner, despite the fact that his father is a ger, but since his mother is a Yisrael, therefore he has the status of Mikerev Achicha. Om Rabaye. Abaye now praises Rav Ado bar Ava, Hilkach Mande Mashre Sura Mirabonad Bish Pezichtei. If a person hosts a Talmud Chacham in his home or in his hotel, his inn, li'ashrei, he should sort of guarantee that the person that he hosts, or at least amongst the people that he hosts, is a Talmud Chacham on the level of Kidrav Ado Barav, on that level. It was because of Rav Ado Barav that the hotel owner, his host, was appointed as the mayor of the city, at least for Mili Demasa. So you see that it's important to get a senegar, you know, someone who will talk up your case and come to your side to put forward your claim. And that person, if he's a Talmud Chacham like Rav Ado Barav, get to know him. Make sure that you can host him in your house or in your hotel. Rabbi Zera Metapel Bahu. Rabbi Zera had a great deal of dealings taking care of Gerim. He gave them a great deal of respect. He made sure that they were appointed as leaders of the community. Rabbi Baravua Metapel Bahu. Rabbi Baravua had a soft spot for the Gerim. He would make sure to take care of their needs, to give them respect, to appoint them for Srara, leadership positions. B'marava, all that we spoke about, Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Baravua, that's only in Bavel. When we came to Eretz Yisrael, the minhag was different. Afilu Reish Kuri Lo Mukmi Minayim. Even someone who was in charge of supervising the scales, make sure that they were balanced and functioning properly. Remember back in the day, the marketplace, you came in and you bought something, it was weighed in the scales, those are called amidos. And someone had to supervise to guarantee, like we have people in charge of the mikveh, people in charge of the eruv to make sure it's up. They had people in charge of the to oversee those who would take care of the midos, of the scales, to make sure they were all accurate. Nobody was being cheated in the marketplace. Is even that person who's in charge of giving the final hechsher, the gestempel on a scale, you know, of one of these vendors, even that person who's in charge, called the Reish Kuri, Lo Mukminenei Binayu, we do not appoint him in Marava, that was the meaning, not appoint him as the overseer. Binarda Afilu Reish Gargusa, in an area called Narda, they went even a step further. There was a shoter, a policeman, who was appointed on Hashkoyas Asodos. In other words, those fields that could not survive, or shall we say, could not grow any grains, vegetables, fruits, etc., without irrigated water, but would totally rely on the rains, that fall from heaven. That's not going to be enough water. There's a definite need to irrigate the water, and there had to be public water places called boros of Mayim that were designated for the city members to allow them to draw water in order to irrigate their fields. And each person was given a certain allotment of water, meaning he had his day. And one person might be tempted to cheat a little bit and take more water than is due to him, than it's allotted for him, take over a day that really was designated for his friend. And we need, therefore, policemen to police this whole thing. This is critical because the agriculture, the farmers would be totally dependent upon this irrigated water. Is Lomuk Mina Minayu, the overseer who has this srara, will not be a ger. It's got that shoter who's in charge of the irrigation waters. He's got to be a Yisrael. He cannot be a ger. So we see that again, the emphasis here is about srara, and srara cannot be from a ger, at least according to the minhag reflected by Narda and Eretz Yisrael. A Reish Kuri, who's in charge of overseeing the scales, or Reish Gargus, who's in charge of seeing that no one cheats in terms of the money, the water allotment for the irrigation of his field. In Ma'arava, these positions were open for candidates, but not to the exclusion of Gerim. Again, outside of Ma'arava and outside of Narda, it seems there was more of an expanded scope possibility for Gerim to be appointed even as the mayor of the city to oversee all those dimensions of security, etc., etc. And that's called Mili Demasa. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Misha Yechasim Al Ad Be'erche Hayishana Shaltzio, the old city. So if somebody was testified, his signature was attached to a document of testimony in the old city of Tzipore, there's no need, says Rabbi Yossi, to check out his mother's and establish his kashrus and yuchsin, my taima. What is the reason for that? Daike Umechteme, which means that the Dayanim themselves, the Bezdin, will have to receive testimony or investigate a potential marriage partner with the exception of someone who is signed on this document. My taima, daike umechteme, because in the old city of Tzipori they would not just let anyone come forward and sign a document as edus. They would be very careful to check out his yichus beforehand. And this is the way the Rambam interprets our Gemara. Rashi, on the other hand, leaves out the word ad, and he writes, Mefarshim Hayukosvin es hamiyuchasim sheruyim lismanos l'dayonim v'loyum amanim el dayon miyuchas. Now the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, he was of the opinion that if someone was muchtav bastratya shel melech, and this has something to do with the soldiers, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, what's the case? Chayol shel beis David. These are the forces in the battalion, the regiments of the king of King David. And Amar Rabbi Yosef Maikra, how do we know that back in the day of David, if you were given the position as a soldier in his army, then without question we would have to check out your yichus. Maikra, the allusion in the pasuk is in Divrei Hayomim, v'siyachasam batzava lemelchama. V'siyachasam means those who were mukzakim b'yichus, they were able to go out to war in the battles of David HaMelech. The time of Mai, why do we have to be makpid on yichus for chayalim? I mean, the best soldiers are those who are just that. You know, they're professional soldiers, they're strong, they're energetic. Why should we check out the yichus? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, k'dei she'tehei z'chusam u'z'chus avosam misayatam. Going out to battle, without question, I don't even have to mention this, is a very dangerous proposition. And you really need up in Shamayim z'chuyot, some sort of merits that will engender divine protection. And therefore, if a person had not only his own personal schus, his own merits, but he applied as a soldier based on the schus avosam, on the merits of his ancestors to win the battle and be protected, all this comes from good, solid yichus in the mishpachos. And therefore, they were very careful before they sent out a soldier to battle at the time David HaMelech, they would check out his yichus to make sure there was no psul in the yichus. And therefore, if one of the descendants of Chelos based David gets married, there's no need to check out the Arba Imos, as we saw in the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, Va'ika Tselek Ha'amoni. Now, amongst the courageous members of the regiment of David HaMelech, as testified in Shmuel Beis, was Tselek Ammoni. Now, what does it mean? He's called an Ammoni. It sounds like he comes from Ammon. Now, it might mean that going back generations, there were Gerim in his ancestry, but nevertheless, he doesn't have Schus Avosov L'Sayam. So then how could we assume that David HaMelech would exclude those who weren't Miyuchasim and who didn't have the Schus of Avosom Mesayosom from the Molchama, from being part of Israel? Here we see that the Tanakh testifies that Selek HaAmoni, who presumably came from the nation of Ammon, was a member of the battalion of David HaMelech. He went out to battle. So how can you tell me about someone who's Asi Mi Ammon, who comes from the nation of Ammon and his ancestors were Gerim? Nevertheless, this Ein Schus Avosom Esayosom, and yet he was a member of the Chelos based Dovid, and Mistoma there were others as well. So the Gemara answers, Lo, the Yosef Bi Ammon, the reason why he took on this name, this nickname of Ha'amoni, Tzelek Ha'amoni, was not because he was a descendant of Gerim from Ammon, but rather he lived in a location called Ammon. He was a Yisraeli Miyuchas, but he was called Ammoni because he lived in Ammon. You know, if you're in the capital of Jordan today, so it doesn't mean that you're an Ammoni. That's Ammon. Va'ika, the Gemara asks, amongst the great warriors and courageous soldiers in the battalion of David HaMelech, Uriah Achiti was amongst them. Achiti implies that he was a ger from Chiti, my love, the Asi Meches, and therefore his ancestors were gerim. The Gemara answers, Lo, the Yosef Beches. It means again the same logic that he lived in an area called Ches. And we should not make a mistake that because he lived in Ches, that he was a descendant of Gerim from Ches, which would passel his Yichus for Chelos based David according to everything that we presented here. The answer is no. He wasn't a Ger from Ches, he was a Gar Beches. He lived in Ches. The Gemara asks, Va'ika, amongst the great courageous soldiers of David HaMelech, Itai HaGiti, and he's called Giti because he comes from Gat, which means that his fathers were Gerim. Could he serve in the army? V'chitem, and if you'll tell me, Achinami the Yosef Begat, you'll pull the old trick that he wasn't from Gat, meaning from that nation called Gat, but rather he was living in the area location called Gat, but he was really in truth the Israeli Miyuchas. V'amar Rav Nachman, Itai Hagiti Ba Ubitla. Now let's try to understand what that means. Ba Ubitla. It means we're talking about the sort of aura or status or the reputation of the Bnei Ammon as being Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They wore, so to speak, the crown. They waved the flag of Avodah Zarah. And from the statement of Rav Nachman, we can prove that Itai Hagiti was in fact a ger. He came from that kingship of the Avodah Zarah, and he was Mevatel the Avodah Zarah in order to come and join the auxiliary service of David. He came to want to serve with David, but in any event, Itai was certainly a guy, but since he was Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, therefore he would be able to join the service of David HaMelech. Now again, when we say Bittel, he was Mevatel Avodah Zarah, we know that an Avodah Zarah Shei Yisrael is not subject to Bittel, but if it was Avodah Zarah of a guy, then it could be Mizbatel, he could break something off of it, and that's called, when he breaks off a chip, it's called Bittel Avodah Zarah. A Jew is not able to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. So if this individual according to Rav Nachman, was Mevatel Avodah Zarah, his name was Itai Hagiti, then certainly he was a guy. The Odin, furthermore, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Arbamios Yelodim Hoylo LeDavid, there were 400 young men that served in the military units of David. V'kulam b'nei yifas tor hayu. They all were offspring of Noshim, what we call Eishes Yifas Toar, which are non-Jewish women that are allowed to marry a Jew through the whole parsha of Eishes Yifas Toar. And since these children were born to Nachrios, to non-Jewish women, mothers, and yet they were able to serve in the armies of David HaMelech, we see clearly that even Goyim or descendants of Goyim can serve in the army of David HaMelech. And Rabbi Yehuda continues in the name of Rav, V'kulam mistaprim komei, they all would take haircuts, umegadlim blorios hayu, and they left a certain ponytail, so to speak, behind their necks. Vikulam yoshvim bikronos shel zahav, and they all sat in agolos shel zahav, and we'll try to figure out the significance of that. Vahayu, and these 400 young men, mahalchim v'roshi agaisos, they were at the head of the battalions, they were the sergeants, the colonels. Vahein heim bali agrofim, these were the powerful, courageous warriors, shel Beis David, of the Malchus of Beis David. So we see clearly that amongst the ranks of David HaMelech's military army were definitely people who are not miyuchasim. And these kind of haircuts that we mentioned before, leaving the blorius, that was typical of what we call Darkei HaEmori. In any event, the Gemara answers that these 400 Bachurim were not really soldiers in the strict sense. They didn't actually go out there to kill the enemy with weapons, but the Azlei Leva'usei Alma, they were at the head of the pack in order to add a certain fear into the hearts, to instill fear into the hearts of the enemy. Because they look like that these were the strongest guys amongst the idol worshippers of that time, and that would put fear into the hearts of the enemies that came to battle against David HaMelech. This would certainly answer the question of the 400 students, the front guard of David HaMelech. But what about Itai Hagiti? Are we meant to assume that he too was not a warrior that shot arrows or whatever Kli Zion, he was not actually a full-fledged soldier? So Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz argues that Itai Hagiti was only Yotze Berosham on a temporary basis, Lefi Shah, but he wasn't a regular ongoing member of Chelos Shel David HaMelech. And here we turn to Daf Ayin Aleph, Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. And we're going to take a look at the Mishnah, a little bit of background. The Torah says with regard to a Kohen who marries a Psula, this is in Vayikra Chaf Aleph, V'lo Yechalel Zaro Bi'amov, meaning that the Vlad that's born to such a Bia from a Psul Kuhuna is a Chalal. If he's a Zohar, it means he's Mufka, he's excluded from Kedushas Kuhuna. If it's an Akeva, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. And the Gemara is going to explain that even a Kohen who has relations with a woman who is Asura Olav Be'iser Kuhuna, and it's not what we call an Iser Kahal, but nevertheless, the Vlad that's born from that relationship is a Chalol or a Chalola. So it means a Kohen Hedger who has a relationship with a Grusha or a Zona, or a Kohen Gadol has a relationship with an Almana or a Grusha or a Zona, the child is considered pasul l'kahuna. Our Mishnah is going to clarify the law of females who are born from chalolim who are psue kahuna. Do these girls also have the status of chalolos, meaning they're psuos, or are they ksheros? So the Mishnah says the following. With regard to a ger and a gioris, let's say a ger marries a gioris and they have a daughter. What's her status as far as kahuna is concerned? Is bas chalol zachar psula minakuna liolam? That means that a girl whose father was a chalola, she's called a bas chol zachar, is psula minakuna liolam. It means that even the son of a chalol has the status of a chalol, and his daughter is psula minakuna, and so to ben bino, all generations, the psul of chalolus is passed on for all generations. If he's a zocher ben zocher, he's a chalol, and his bas is psul lakuna. Yisrael shenos a chalola. If a man marries a chalola, bito ksher lakuna. There, the daughter is fit to marry a kohen. It's not like the case of a bas cholol. Here we're talking about a bas chalola, in which case the money, whereas chalolos passes on endlessly through the father's yichus of a chol, as a cholol, in the case of the mother's yichus, she's a chalola. If it's not an illegal relationship between a kohen and a chalola, but rather it's a case of a heter, a permissible relationship between a Yisrael and a chalola, then the bas is ksher lakuna. The Mishnah continues, cholol shenosa bas Yisrael, bito psula lakuna. In the case where the cholol marries a bas Yisrael, and now we are going to attribute the daughter of this marriage's yichus to her father, who's a cholol, then she's psula minakuhuna. The Gemara is going to try to explain later on why the Mishnah had to repeat itself. We've already learned that in the Reisha, bas chol zocher psula minakuna. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bas ger zocher. In the case of a marriage between a ger, he's a ger, the father, and a bas Yisrael, and the child of this marriage is a girl, that's called a bas ger zocher. Kibas chol zocher. Once again, there's going to be a psul kahuna because on the father's side, there is a ger relationship. The daughter of a gioris mi ben Yisrael is ksher lakuna. In other words, if the father is a Yisrael, even though the mother's a gioris, the child is ksher lakuna according to Rabbi Yehuda. But paradoxically, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's not the mother who's a gioris, but the father who's a ger, then the child of that relationship between a ger and a bas Yisrael is a chalol. That's a very strange halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time trying to make sense out of it. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Yisrael shenosa gioris. He disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and he maintains that if a Yisrael marries a gioris, so now the problem of the yuchsin is on the mother's side, bito ksheira lakuhuna, the ger shenosa bas Yisrael, bito ksheira lakuhuna, and logically, the same principle should apply if the father is a ger and the mother is a bas Yisrael. What difference it makes, says Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, whether or not the mother is a gioris or the father is a ger. If you're telling me that if the mother is a gioris, then the bas is ksheira, and even Rabbi Yehuda admits that the bas of a gioris is ksheira lakuna, then the same logic should apply to the bas of a ger who marries a bas Yisrael. Aval ger shenasa gioris, only in a case where both parents are gerim, then the daughter Bito is Psula LeKahuna. And now we have another piece from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov here in the Mishnah. Again, in the case of the daughter of a ger that we discussed before, Echad ger v'echad avodim mishuchrorim v'afilu ad asorah doros ad shetei imo miYisrael. Means that until we get one case where the mother of the ger comes from Yisrael, then he is also considered a Yisrael. But as long as the couple is made up of two gerim, or gerim could also include an eved, kanani meshuchra, also has a din of a ger, even for generations and generations, again, he uses the term asara doros, but the mefarshim say that's lav dafka, like it says by mamz and gam dor asira, it means liolam, there's always going to be a child who's posel lekuna, because the bas of a marriage between gerim is psul lekuna. But if we finally have a mother of the ger who's mi Yisrael, then bito kshera lekuna. If Rabbi Eliezer is making the point that if the mother of the ger is the Yisraelis, then the child is considered a Yisrael, and the bas is kshera lekuna, then how much more so if aviv mi Yisrael, if his father was a Yisrael. And we're going to see later on in Daf Ayin Ches that Isha, woman, shavia mi Yisrael, is considered for more mizera Yisrael. Now Rabbi Yossi adds his last comment here in the Mishnah, af ger shenosa giores bito ksher lekuna. He disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And even if both parents are gerim, the bas is ksher lekuhuna, as opposed to the shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But let's just summarize the three different shitos about the status of the bas of a ger for kuhuna, or the kashrus of the bas that are mentioned here in our Mishnah. We start with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that if the father is a ger, the bas is psula. If the mother is a gioris, the bas is kshera. Then we have Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that only in the case that both the father and the mother are gerim, only then is the bas psula lekuna. So he, Rabbi Eliezer, is arguing against Rabbi Yehuda in the case where the father is a ger and the mother is the Yisraelis, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say that the daughter of this marriage, where the father's a ger, is psul lekuna, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the daughter of the father ger is ksher lekuna, only if both the father and the mother are gerim. And finally, we have the shita Rabbi Yossi, that even if both parents are gerim, the daughter of this marriage is kshera. And the Gemara later on is going to explain that Rabbi Yossi is machshir only if it was a case of hora'aso v'leidasa b'kedusha. It's not enough, as the Mishnah would seem to indicate, that she was nolda after the gerus, but the conception itself had to take place in this marriage between two gerim before the conception of this bas, after the gerim had already been misgaya, which means hora'aso b'kedusha. The Gemara now goes back to analyze the opening statement of the Mishnah, and specifically the word li'olam. What does it mean? Bas chol zocha psulim nakuna li'olam. My li'olam. Why did the Mishnah, what was the Mishnah's intention by emphasizing that a bas chol is psul li'olam for all generations? It could have said that bas chol is psul, and mevela, that would have been enough. We understand that the psul is carried on for all generations. Why? Because any zachar that comes from a cholol is a cholol, and the bito is psula. So when it says cholol zachar, then the bas of the chol zachar certainly is psula for all generations. Mal detem, I might think, midi dehavia mitzri ve'adomi. We saw in cases of psul kohol, like mitzri ve'adomi, that there's a limited psul. and it only applies for X number of generations. Malahalon, in the case of Mitzvah Domi, is Li'achar Shlosha Doros. After the Dor Shlishi, we have a Heter Lisa Bas Yisrael, or Linasi Leben Yisrael. So if the Gerus takes place after three generations, it's Mutar Afkanam. I think also in the case of Cholol, Nami, Li'achar Shlosha Doros, maybe the Bas after three generations would not be a Psula. Kamash Balon, the Mishnah wants to say Li'olam, that the Psula of Cholol extends for all generations, even after three generations. Li'olam. As long as it's Zachar, Ben Zachar, Ben Zachar, etc., all generations, that this Chalolus, the Bas is always going to be Psula L'Kahuna. The Mishnah, Yisrael, Shenasa Chalola, teaches us that if a Yisrael marries a woman who was illegally married to a Kohen, for example, she was a Zona or a Grusha, the Bas of such a marriage between a Yisrael and a Chalola is Kshera L'Kahuna. Why? Because it's only the Bas of a Chalol, meaning the yichus of the father is called apostles her to kuna, but not the bas of a chalola. She's not psula l'kahuna. And we touched on this back on daf samach zayin amid aleph, that a bas chalol zocher is psula min akuna, because the vlad is holech achar hazocher, whereas, correct, so what do we have over here? We have a vlad of, or a vlad, we'll call it a bas of a cholol zachar, and the yichus goes bas of the father, and therefore she's psul lakuna. A bas nifselas mikuna machmas avia cholol. Now the Mishnah says that if Yisrael marries a cholola, the bas is kshera, because, as we said before, the yichus of chalolos goes bas to the father. Minani mili, how do we know this din? That if the mother is a chalolos, she doesn't passel a daughter. The daughter is not psul lakuna. Om Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Nemar Kan, as far as chil is concerned, in the parasha Vayikra Chafal Falo Yechalil Zaro Bi'amav, that a Kohen should not marry a woman who's asurlo, because then he's machal his zera that comes from such an illegitimate marriage. And the pasuk says chilul. That's the pasuk. Lo yechalel is nemar lahalan with regard to tumas kohenim lemes. In Parshas Emor it says lo yotame baal bi'amav. A Kohen should not be metame himself for his wife who is prohibited upon him, asura olav, and that's explained in the Sugin Yevamos on Daf Chaf Beis, and therefore he should not bury his wife who's asura olav, and let someone else be osek in the burial. Again, if there's no one else, that's a different story. That's called the Mes Mitzvah. So we're not getting into that. But we see the word here, lo yitame baal bi'amav, the word bi'amav. Now let's go back to the original pasuk of chalolus. There it says, lo yichalel zaro, again, bi'amav. So we had the word bi'amav twice. Mala halon, just like with regard to the Isur Tuma, Zcharim v'lo nekevos. The Torah says, Emor al hakohen b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. So women who come from Kahuna are not enjoined from Tuma. Is af kan here in the parsha of Psul Cholol, it says Psul Chol with regard to Zcharim v'lo nekevos. Now, we presented the interpretation of Rashi. The Rashash is a little bit upset about Rashi's pshat. He offers an alternative interpretation, and he says that it doesn't say in the pasuk lo yichal es zaro, but rather it says lo yichal zaro. And what that means is the Torah is including here two things. Number one, that Kohen Gadol, who marries an almon is mechal is zera. Number two, that zara mechal acherim, that zera will be mechal others. And the Rashash, based on this distinction, gives an entire interpretation to substitute for Rashi's. If we have time, believe that, then maybe we'll get back to it. But let's see the Gemara's objection here. Elameata, now that you're telling me that Nikevas are excluded from the Psul of Chalola, is Bito Shel Kohen Gadol. If a Kohen Gadol marries an Almona, the daughter of that relationship, Tishtere, she should be permitted to marry a Kohen. Why is she Asuralo? After all, you just told me that Chalolus is only Zecharim and not Nekevos. So the Gemara answers, Miksiv Bino, does the Torah say, that's a rhetorical question with regard to Kohen Gadol who marries an Almon of Lo Yechal Bino, which would imply that he's not Mechal his Bas, he's only Mechal his Ben. It says Zaroksiv, Lo Yechalel, Lo Yechal Zaro Biyamov. And Zaro is coming to tell me not just Ben of Kohen Gadol who married an Almona, but even a Bas, even in the cave was considered Zaro. We had a similar Gemara in Yevamos with regard to period of Arivia, that when it says Zaro, it includes even the Nekevos. And here too, we're going to derive from the Gzeira Shava to exclude Nekevos. And Nilmad Rak Shabbas Bito Shel HaMechalel Eina Nifseles. The Gemara now asks the following question. Is Bas Bino Tishtere? What about the daughter of the son of the Mechal? She should be Muteres, because that the Alfusa that you had, the Gzeira Shava of Biyamov Biyamov, which applies to Bas Bito, let's apply it through this halacha of Zaro even to Bas Bino, and the conclusion therefore should be that Bas Bino should be Muteres to Kahuna. We just said that the psul of Chalolus through the Av is passed by Li'olam through all generations. So even though the Lashon of Zaro would imply that we pass even the Nekevos, but we're going to suggest that that's only the Zera Rishon Shalom Achalel, but not Bas Bino. So the Gemara answers, Ksiv v'lo yechal Zaro. The word Zaro, as we said before, Zera shel ha'af. You know, the Torah doesn't say Zera, but Zaro. And this word Zaro includes not only the father himself, but also his Zera, Zaro. Makish, Zaro, Lo. There's a hekish here between Lo and Zaro. Right, because it says Zera Zaro, and it means that he himself becomes impacted by this relationship. So what does it mean that the Torah includes in this word Zaro Gam Esav himself, Atzmo V'Gam Es Zaro? Is Makish Zaro Lo Mahu? The Mechal himself is Bito, Psula, his daughter cannot marry a Kohen. Af Bino, so too his son, who's a Cholol, is Bito Psula. So you see it travels down to the next generation. The Gemara now asks, well, if you're operating with a Hekesh of Zaro, Lo, then Af, we should also say Bas Bito of the Mechal Titaser, she should also be Asur Lakuna, because even with regard to Bito of the Mechal, we have this Hekesh. Mahu Atzmo is Bito Psula, is Bito Tehe Bito Psula. In Cain, the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, if you want to tell me that Bas Bito's Asura is Gzera Shova Maya Hanile, so we're left with an empty set as far as the Gzera Shova of Biamov, which excludes Nekevos. So basically we're doing a balancing act, a juggling act. So we're going to be Mekayim the Hekesh and also the Gzera Shova. And the conclusion of that reconciliation is that Bas Bino is Asura, based on the Hekesh, and Bas Bita is Muteris, based on the Gzera Shava. Now we go back to the Mishnah, Cholol, Shenosa, Bas Yisrael, is Bito Psula, right? If the father is a Cholol, Then the Bas picks up the Yichus of her father, and she's Psula, Tani Le Reisha. Why did the Mishnah have to repeat that? We already have it in the Reisha. Bas Chol Zocher Psula Min Akuna Liolam. What did you add? And the Gemara answers, Aidi, the Tana Reisha. In the Reisha, it says, Yisrael Shenasa Chalola. And Bito is Ksheira in that case, because the Chalolos here is on the side of the mother, not on the side of the father. Tananami Seifa, therefore he repeats himself in the Seifa. Chalol, Shenasa, Bas Yisrael, that the Bas is Psula. So it's just a symmetrical kind of literary analysis of the Mishnah. There's nothing added in Halacha. In any event, we have derived one major conclusion from our Mishnah. That the daughter of a Cholol Zachar is Psula Min Akuna. Masnisin Delok Rabbi Dostoy Ben Yehuda, you should know that Rabbi Dostoy would disagree with the premise of our Mishnah that the Bas Cholol, even though the mother herself is Kshera, but the child, the daughter, is Psula. This Sanya we learned to the Brice Reb Dostoy Ben Yehuda Omer Kshem Shepnei Yisrael Mikvatara Lechalolus Kach Bedos Yisrael Mikvatara Lechalolin. Just as Bnei Yisrael, if they get married to Chalolos, is their Mitar of the Bas herself is Kshera Lekuhuna, and the reason for that is that since the Chalolos is only on the mother's side and not on the father's side, therefore the child, in this case the daughter, is Ksheira Lekuna, Kach, so too Benos Yisrael, if a Bas Yisrael gets married to a Cholol, is Mikveh Torah LeChalolin, that too is Metar the Zera that will be born from that marriage of that Cholol to be Machsheh the Bas Lekuna. So you've got here a marriage between a Bas Yisrael and a Cholol, and in such a case, the Bas of that marriage is Kshera LeKuhuna, according to Rav Distoy Ben Yehuda, in contrast to our Mishnah. We have a debate between our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if a Cholol marries a Bas Yisrael, the child is a Psula Lekuhuna because of the Yichus of the father, is a Cholol. And in that very same case, Rav Distoy Ben Yehuda holds that the Bas Yisrael is a Mikveh Tahara LeChalolim, and we don't care about the fact that the father is a Cholol, the child, the daughter, is Ksheira Lekuhuna. My time in the Rav Distoy, Rav Yehuda, what was the basis of his kula, of his conclusion on Makra? The Pasuk says, Lo Yichal Zaro Bi'amav. And what's the significance of the word bi'amav? It doesn't say bi'amamav, which would be a plural formulation, but rather bi'amav, which is singular. What's the significance of lo yichal zaro in the singular bi'amav? Is bi'am echad hu demechil b'shnei amamim eno mechil. What does it mean, am echad hu demechil? It means that if both he and she, the husband and the wife, come from the same nation, meaning from the same cut, they're both chalolim, then the child becomes a chol. But b'shnei amim, if let's say one parent is a chol and the other is not a chol, but rather kosher, is eino mechil, there's no chalolus in the zera. So what we need is, in order to establish chalolus, that both parents are chalolim. But if one parent, whether it's the father or it's the mother, is Ksheira Lekuhuna, then the daughter who's born to such a marriage is likewise Ksheira Lekuhuna. The Gemara now quotes a Braisa that's going to derive from Psukim that if there's a marriage to a Kohen B'Isur, the children are Chalolim and excluded from Kuhuna Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, with regard to a Kohen Gadol who marries one of the Psulos, Lo Yechal Zaro. And the Braisa interprets this word, Lo Yechal, these words, Lo Yechal Zaro, Ein Li Ela Zaro, He Atzma Minayin. How do we know that not only Lo Yechal Zaro, that the Zera is possible because of this this marriage between a Kohen Gadol and a Psula, but even she herself becomes Psula. He Atzma, the woman who has this relationship, this Be'ila, with the Kohen Gadol, Be'isur, how do we know that she becomes a Chalola? And the Gemara answers, Amart. Kalvachomer, I can be Doresha Kalvachomer Ma Zaro. In the case of a Kohen Gadol who marries a Psula, his Zera is certainly possible. Even though what? Shelo Avar Avera is Mischalel. The child of this marriage is not guilty of any criminal act, and yet he becomes a Chol. He suffers from the iniquities of his parents. Is he Sha'avra Avera? She herself is not allowed to marry a Kohen. She's prohibited from marrying a Kohen, and she went ahead and violated that. He says, "Ein Odin Shem Mischalel." How much more so should she become a Chalola as a result of the Bias of the Bias Isur? And there's a long discussion in the Pnei Yeshua about the obvious pircha of this Kal V'chomer, because in the case of Mamzer, who's posel, even though he didn't do an Avera, and yet his mother, paradoxically, does not become Psula L'Kol, even though she had an Avera, by having relations with the Yisrael Kosher. So the Pnei Yeshua, Ayin Sham, has the teretz this pircha. The Gemara now goes on and says the following. And if you'll kind of counter, if you'll counter against the logic of this Kal V'chomer by saying that you cannot learn that she herself, derive the conclusion she herself is Mechalel from the fact that Zaro Mischala, that there's a Chil in the Zera, because Amar Kra Lo Yechal Zaro, Lo Yechulol Zesha Yekoshev in Ischalel. This drasha, Amar Kro, Lo Yechal Zaro, Lo Yechulol, which is coming to teach me from, now we have a special explicit Yalfusa to teach me that person who is kosher now becomes chol, that's referring to the wife of this illegitimate marriage to a Kohen, and the Zera was posled Mikaro. This is necessary, says the Braisa, im nafshcha lomar, because of some tshuva against the Kal V'chomer. So the Gemara says, my im nafshcha lomar, you didn't spell out exactly what you had in mind as a tshuva to the Kal V'chomer, that you needed a special drosh, a special pasuk of lo yichal zaro, lo yichulol. V'chitem, and if you'll say, ikol mifrach, mal zaro, shekein yitziros of ba'vera, the Gemara answers that the Im Nafshcha Lomar alludes to the following scenario, the following logic, shall we say. We're talking about if the Zera, who was not guilty of any Aver, becomes possible, how much more so the Isha, who violated an Iser, is you could offer the following Pircha, Ma Lizaro Shekein Yitziroso Ba'Avera. In the case of the Zera, the Zera itself was the very conception, the bringing of this child into this world is a result of an Avera. So the Avera itself is responsible for the birth of the child. Tomar, does that have any implication on the case of Ishto, that she has the status of a Kshera, and now as a result of the Bia, she becomes a Chalola? How do you know such a thing? Omer Kra, Lo Yechalel, Lo Yechulol, Zesha Yekoshev in Ischalel. So we have a special Yalfusa to derive that she, who's a Basil, is married to a Psul, a Kohen, but she's Psul Lakuna, Bavera, that she is Yechulol. Right? What does it mean? Lo Yechulol, you should not be mischal by marrying this Kohen when you're not allowed to marry the Kohen. Now, in the previous brisa, we clarified and established that if a woman is married to a Kohen Be'isur, then she herself becomes a Chalola. The Gemara now brings a brisa that is going to clarify which Chalola is explicit in the Torah and which Chalola is derived from Drashas Chachamim. Tanu Rabbanan, Ezo hi Chalola. Who is given the status of a halal that's psul lakuna, kol shenolda min hapsulim, and we're going to explain that later on, that she was born from psulim. What does that mean? My psulim. So the Gemara answers that there are a couple of possibilities here as to which women become psulos. Ilema, if you're talking about, and you want to say that the intention of this brisa is anyone who comes from one of the women who are psulos lo, and it means even if he, the one who's marrying this woman, is a Yisrael, but nevertheless there's a bias avera and the vlad therefore is a cholol, that's impossible to say. Are machzir grushoso, if a man remarries his own grusha after she had married someone else and she was divorced from that second husband, dipsulo, he violates an isur doraisa of lo yuchal baila rishon shel shilcha loshev lekachelius liishto, etc., etc. Ubanea, and nevertheless the children from such a marriage, let's say the daughters from such a marriage, is ksherim lekuna. And we derive that from a pasuk, the chsiv, it says in the parasha Machzir Grushoso ki teitzei lo yuchal baila rishna shel shulcha loshev lekachta lios lo ish achrei asher hu tama, and why ki toeva he, and what is the extra word he, and we darshan he, the grusha, who goes back to her original husband, toeva, that's a violation of a terrible isur, and she will be punished for that violation. But v'ein bonea toeva, she is a toeva, but not her children. The Gemara clarifies now, Om Rabbi Yehuda hachi kamar. This is what the Brice has in mind. Ezi chalol kol shenolda min posul min psul kahuna. What it means is that a chalola is any girl who was born from psul kahuna, meaning her father had a relationship of Iser with her mother because he's a Kohen. That's called Nola Mipsul Kahuna. She, the daughter, was born to this relationship of Psul Kahuna, and therefore she herself, the daughter, becomes a Chalola. The Gemara now asks, Nolda in Lo Nolda Lo Hare Almona Ugrusha Zona Delo Nolda V'Kahavya Chalola. You're telling me that the only chalola is a girl who was born from an Iser Psul Kahuna? That's not so. What about all these women themselves who had bia with a Kohen B'Iser, a Grusha, a Zona, an Almana for a Kohen Gadol, and she becomes a chalola from this bia relationship, even though Lo Nolda, she was not born from Psul Kahuna, V'Kahavya Chalola, nevertheless she's a chalola. Amar Rava Hachi Kamer, this is what the Brice has in mind. Ezehi Chalola Muskeres Shalo Hayala Shas HaKosher Klal Kol Shenolda Min Psul Kahuna. What does that word Muskeres mean? Chalola Muskeres, who never had a moment of Kashrus because she was born from a relationship of Psul Kahuna, she's a Chalola. But what does it mean, chalola muskeres? My muskeres? The Gemara clarifies the meaning of the word muskeres. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak bar Oven hachi komar. Ezo hi chalola. That was mentioned in the Torah, she'ikra mi divrei Torah. Meaning when we go back to the pasuk, chalola sivayikra chaf aleph, it says, v'chalola lo yikachu. V'ein tzrichen lefaresh mi divrei sofrim. There's no need to employ some sort of a drasha of the chachamim because it's muskeres. It's explicit. The Torah is outspoken about it. Kol shenolda min psulei kahuna. Rashi explains this concept of muskeres is ikar din cholol. The primary halach of chol is formulated in the pasuk that we mentioned before, v'lo yichal zaro, and it means that the zera that's born from a bia psule kahuna that's mentioned in that pasuk, the isha herself becomes chalol through bia, but that's not explicit in the pasuk. That's derived from drashas of the psukim that she's mischaleles. as we said before, lo yechal lo v'nischalo lo yechulal, etc. And then afkamina, this whole discussion in the Braisa is as far as the law of Zokin Mamre. Zokin Mamre is only chayav misa on something, a dover that's ikro midivrei Torah and pirusha midivrei sofrim. Therefore, in this case, we're going to make the distinction between the child, the daughter that's married to this illegal relationship between a Kohen and a Yisraelis, as opposed to the Yisraelis, the Isha herself. We find another such parallel distinction in the parish of Parahelim Davashel Tzibur, and that's a Sugyan Horios on Daf Dalet. Now the Gemara brings a Braisa that addresses the Chiyuvim Shenitan Lischayev Benesias Isha Achas Apsul Kohen Tanur Abbanu. We learned in a Braisa, if a Kohen Gadol has a relationship with an almana, and what does this mean? Almana, a woman who had three different husbands that all died during her lifetime. She has the shame almana. Is eno chayv? He doesn't get a set of malchus for each divorce that she received, for each baal that divorced. Ela achas. There's only one chiyuv and one violation. Same thing applies, grusha, a woman who was divorced from three different husbands, as far as the Kohen is concerned, and now we're talking about a Kohen Hetsh, and he only gets one set of malchus for the grusha. Almana ugrusha v'chalola zona. What happens if a woman is at the same time an overlap of four different psule kahuna, yisure kahuna, bizman shehem kifi seder, kiseder, if her status was in that very order, in that very sequence, she was first an almana, then she remarried and she was a grusha, and then she had some sort of a marriage with a kohen be'isur, and she becomes a chalola. And after that, she was raped or she had some sort of relationship with a pasul who makes her into a zona, or a karov who makes her into a zona. Is in that case, since this was sequential, is chayav al kol achas viachas, the kohen who marries her is going to violate each isur independently. It's a convergence, an overlap of four different shemos isur, and there'll be four different sets of malchus. But that's only because the psulim emerged kiseder chronologically. But if, let's say, she began with zinsa, she had a znus with one of the krovim, or with a mamzer, apostle, and then the kohen has relations with her, v'nis chalola, she becomes a chalola, and then v'nis garsha, she gets married and she receives a get, and then v'nis armala, she marries another man and she becomes a widow from that man. Einu chayav ela achas, as the Gemara is going to explain, that's the braisa. Omar Mar, the braisa says, almona, einu chayav ela achas. Hi, almona, hechi dobi, what's the case? Elam, if we'll assume that we're talking about three different women, Sheba al almonas Ruven, al almonas Shimon, al almonas Levi, if he, the Kohen Gadol, had a relationship with the Almon of Ruven and another woman who was the Almon of Shimon and the third woman, the Almon of Levi, is Eino Chayev Ela Achas? That doesn't make any sense. Why should he only be Chayev for one Avera when he had three different Bios? And the Gemara now in Ayin Zayinam in Bey says, Hare Gufin Muchlokim. He had three different Bios with three different women. Hare Shemos Muchlokim, and each one has her own status as an almana. Why should he be Chayv al Kolachas Viachas? That cannot be Pshat. Ella, but rather, Shabal almana Achas, Sholosh Bios. Maybe you're going to tell me they had three different Bios with one almana, and it's only Guf Echad. So he should only be Chayv one. So the Gemara says, "Hechi domi idalo asru be." If he only got asru for one avera, pshita deino chayv al achas. He can't be chayv shtayim if he only got one asru. Elo, what are you going to tell me? The asru be akol chadu v'chadu for each bia. He had a prep. It was prefaced by a hasra. Is a mayinu chayv al achas? Why shouldn't it be chayv for individual bias? Each one was separated by a hasra. This should be comparable to the famous case of the Nazir. It's actually a Mishnah in Nazir Vasnan. We learned that the Mishnah in Nazir is Nazir Shoshi Yain Kolyom Kulo. He continuously, non-stop, was drinking wine. And for each revius of wine that he drank, he violated the law of Nazir. Is Eno Chayev Ela Achas. If he only had one Asra for the entire day, he'll only get one set of Malkas for drinking a whole day's worth of Yain. But if Amrulo Altishta Altishta, if they gave him individual and repeated hasros, who shows any drinks after each hasra, chayav al kol achas v'achas. Every shtir that was preceded by hasra incurs, generates a chiv malchus, and so too here, if there was hasra before each beer, he's going to be chayav on each beer, even though it's not gufim v'chulakim, it's one isha. Lo tzricha, but rather, what's the case? Ba al almanas Ruvain, who is also shahaisa almanas Shimon, v'shahaisa gam almanas Levi. She was married three times and she received three gittin. So we would think that maybe he should be chayev for each one of these gittin, each one of these almanas situations. Ba'al detema, hare shemos mechulakim. Here, there are shemos mechulakim, meaning she's the almana of Reuven, she's almana of Shimon, the almana of Levi, called mashmalan. No, he's not going to be chayv three sets of malkus. Gufim mechulakim beinam. We need gufim mechulakim vileka, and we don't have gufim mechulakim to be mechayv more than one chiyuv malkus for each one of those shemos, each one of the Amonis Ruven, Amonis Shimon, Amonis Levi. We don't have Gufim Muchlokim. So again, let's just go through the cases. In the first case that the Gemara presented, he had three different bios, one with the Almona of Ruven, one with the Almona of Shimon, etc. That's Gufim Muchlokim. And in the second case, he had three different bios, and there were hasros between each bio. Even though we're talking about one shame, but there were different bios. In our case, there were no shemos muchlokim. There was no gufa muchlokim because he only had one bio with one woman. So what's going to be mechayev him? The only thing that could be mechayev him is gufa muchlokim. Like in the case where he had subsequent bios, here though he only had one bio, he had bios. He had a bio with Almanas Ruvain, and then he had a bia with Almanas Shimon. Those are gufim muchlokim. Bios muchlokos is like gufim muchlokim, as long as there was asra between each bia. However, here he had only one bia, and there was no gufim muchlokim. Therefore, he's only chai of one set of malkis. We had the Braisa back on Omen Aleph here of Almana Ugrusha v'Chalola Zona. If it was Kisei there, first she was an Almana, then a Grusha, then a Chalola, then a Zona, then he's Chayiv Al Kol Achas V'Achas. So Gemara asks, Hai Tana Mai Kasover? What exactly is the opinion of this Tana about the famous universal principle of Ein Iser Chalol Iser? Ikasover, if he adopts that principle. No, I'm sorry, if he rejects that principle and he holds Isur Chal al Isur, is Ibchanami, then what difference does it make whether it was sequential in that order or it was the reverse? If first she became a Zona, and then she became a Chalola and an Igrusha and an Almona, it would make no difference. Even if you swap it around, it doesn't matter. Isur Chal al Isur. Vikasav, and if on the other hand, Ein Isur Chal al Isur, is Afilu Kisedar as a Namilo? Why should she get Malkus if she became an Almana, and then a Grusha, and a Chalola, and a Zona? It's still Ein Iser Chalol Iser. And Gemara answers, Amar Rava, Hai Tana, the Tana of this Braisa, Iser Chalal, Iser Lesle. He does not accept the position of Iser, of Ein Iser Chalal Iser, but rather Iser is Chalal Iser. But nevertheless, if the order was reversed, that's not enough to be Machayev him multiple sets of Malkus. Only in the case where he does it sequentially, that's called an Iser Mosif Islay. What constitutes an Iser Mosif where the second Iser is Chal and the first Iser, even if I generally hold an Iser Chal Iser? The Gemara explains, Almana is only Asur LeKohen Gadol. Shari LeKohen, and she's allowed to be married to a regular Kohen, is Havile Grusha. Now after she was an Almana, from the second marriage she became a Grusha. Is that's called an Iser Mosif Migu the Tosif La Isura Lagabi Kohen Hejot? Now that she's a Grusha on top of being an Almana, she now has the additional prohibition against marrying a Kohen Hejot. Whereas before, as an Almana, she was not Asura LeKohen Hejot. It Tosif Le Isura. So now the Iser Grusha is Chal Lagabi Kohen Gadol as well, as an Iser Mosif. So the Kohen Gadol now has in front of him an Almano became a Grusha. Grusha is Asur even to a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is also included in the Isa Grusha. But now the nature of that Isa Grusha is such that it's defined in its very essence. It's classified as an Isa Mosif. Is then the Isa Mosif is going to be Chal on the first Isa, and it'll get Shtayim, it'll get two sets of Malkus for both Grusha and Almana. Now, Vadayin Shariyo LeMechal B'Truma Havile Chalola. Now Chalola on top of Grusha becomes an Iser Mosif. And what does this mean? This means that if she's a Bas Kohen and she was married to Yisrael after Gerushin, if she didn't have children for that marriage, and we've discussed this in the past, she goes back to Beis Avia to eating Truma. But now she became a Chalola by having relations with somebody who passes her as a Chalola, is Migo Disasif Isura LeMechal Truma. Now she will no longer go back to Beis Avia to eat Truma. She's a Chalola. She's Psula Mina Truma. Is he Tosef Isura? Now, even Lagabi Kohen Gadol, there's an additional Isur, and that's called an Isur Mosif, and now he's going to get three sets of Malkus. Elazona, but the Gemara says, wait a minute, we're not out in the clear yet. The Braisa says that he gets four sets of Malkus, the fourth of which is engendered by Zona. My Isur Mosif, but what does Zona add to Chalola that we didn't have in Chalola? She's already been excluded from Kohanim through her status as a Chalola. She's already been excluded from Truma's Beis Avia insofar as she's a Chalola. So what have you added by calling her a Zona? This is Amar Rav Chana Bar Ktina. Hoil v'shem znus posel b'Yisrael. The Eastern Zona is also considered an Eastern Mosif. And why is that so? Because if a married woman has nus with another man, an adulterous relationship, then she can no longer have resume a marriage relationship with her husband. That's called venitma. And therefore here too, znus, even though it's not tachas baila, but it's included under the general rubric, the general category of isur znus, that becomes an isur mosif, and it can be chal on top of Almana, Grusha, Vechalola. Again, even though the znus that she had now with a relative of hers, for example, with a mamzer, that doesn't engender, as far as she's concerned, any additional isurim. It doesn't enhance or mosif her isur, because she's already been excluded from kahuna. But nevertheless, since it comes under the general shame znus, and in general, znus is called an Iser Mosif, then even as far as Isur Ikun is called an Iser Mosif, and the Kohen Gadol will now incur a fourth set of Malkus. Now we get into a discussion about Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, or Isur Chal Al Isur, as far as Isur Kuna is concerned. Tane Tana Kamei de Rav Sheshes. We had a Braisa that was taught Kamei de Rav Sheshes. Kol Shu Beyikach, Hareu Belo Yikach. Kol She Eino Beyikach, Eino Belo Yikach. What does this mean? With regard to a Kohen Gadol, the Torah says, "Vehu isha bipsuleo yikach," and the next pasuk says, "Almanu gush v'chalol zonas elelo yikach." So the Braisa says, "Kol shehu beyikach," a woman who he's allowed to marry, if she's a besula, it says, "Vehu isha bipsuleo yikach." She's reuya. She's fit for a Kohen Gadol. She's besula. Is harehu belo yikach. The Kohen Gadol has an Isur of Lo Yikach if that same woman becomes an Almona. But Eino, Kol She Eino BeYikach, a woman who, even if she were to be a Basula, would not be included under the mitzvah of Yikach. She would be Asura Olav Mitzad Isur Acher. Is Eino Belo Yikach if she becomes an Almona? She's not included in the Heter to marry a Basula. And that's based on the smichus of these two psukim, one near the other. And what is this coming to exclude? Prat l'kohen gadol shebal achoso almana. If his sister, the kohen gadol's sister, was married off to someone, and then that someone died, then in such a case, there's no iser of Almana here that's added, because she was already Asura love even before the marriage to that man under the law of Achoso. And there's no Chalos Isur Almana on top of the Isur of Achoso. So you would not get an additional set of Malkus for Isur Kahuna, in this case of a Kohen Gadol Shenasa Almana, because she's already been Asura Midin Achoso and Ein Isur Chal Isur. Amalei Rav Sheshes, he turns to the one who presented that brisa. Di Amar Loch, Mani, who is the author of this brisa? It must be Rabbi Shimoni. Di Amar, he's the Baal Ashita who says, waves the banner of Ein Isur Chal Isur, the sanulent in a brisa of Shimon Omer, Ha Ochel Nevela B'Yom HaKippurim Potter. In other words, there's usually, if a person eats on Yom Kippur, he violates an Isur Kares. But in this case, what he ate was an Avela, which is already Asura Olav, and Ein Isur Achilas Yom HaKippurim Chal Al Isur Nevela, because Isur Nevela came before. The first Isur is always Chal, the second Isur not. And even if it became an Avela on Yom HaKippurim itself, nevertheless, a piece of flesh of that meat during the life of the animal would nevertheless be Asur Midin Eiver Menachai. And the same thing is that the Isur Almona cannot be Chal on the Isur Achoso, which came first. The Irabonon Ha'amri Isur Chal Al Isur. The Rabbaner of the opinion that if a person eats an Avela on Yom HaKippurim, he's Chayev Kares. Why should we Chayev Kares for Yom HaKippurim? We should apply the principle of Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. Obviously, Isur Chal Al Isur. And in that being the case, the Isur of an Almona should be Chal on top of the Isur Al Achoso, and the Kohen Gadol should be Chayev for Psulei Kohun as well. Sigmar rejects Rav Sheshes Hafilu Temer Rabbanon. Even Rabbanan could agree that the Yisrael Mon is not going to be Chal on the Yisrael Chos, to the exception is going to be the case of Yom HaKippurim. Ki Amri Rabbanan, Yisrael Chal, Yisrael Hanimilu, Yisrael Chomor, Yisrael Kal, Yom HaKippurim is called an Yisrael Chomor relative to the Yisrael Nevela, and therefore the Yisrael Chomor is Chal on top of the Yisrael Kal. Aval Isur Kal Isur Chomer, in the case of an Isur Almona, which is relative to the Isur Achoso and Isur Kal, After all, Almana the Kohen Gadol does not have a chiyuv kares, but only a chiyuv malkis. Is lochel, even the Chachamur would agree that ain't Isur Chal Isur. So Isur Chal Isur Chamur, everybody agrees the Isur Chal is not Chamur, and therefore the Kohen Gadol will not incur a set of malkis for Almana, but rather he only gets punished for Achoso. That's called Ein Yisur Chal Yisur B'Yisur Chal. But in the case of Yom HaKippurim, which is Chal on Nevela, or an Yisur Eivim Menachai, that's an Yisur Chabur. And here the rule is Yesh Yisur Chal Yisur. Ika Diamri. Others want to say another opinion with regard to this Braisa. Hamani Rabbanani, this Braisa reflects the Shita Rabbanan Diamri, Yisur Chal Yisur. And this Braisa quoted a special Yalfusa Pasuk to tell us that the Yisur Almana will not be Chal on the Yisur Achoso based on the juxtaposition of the two Psukim Yikach and Lo Yikach. But otherwise, as a general rule, Yisur would be Chal al Yisur. And therefore it makes sense that in the case of Yom HaKippurim there would be an Yisur Chal al Yisur situation. Dechi Amri Rabbanon Yisur Chal Yisur Hani Mili B'Yisur Chomal Yisur Kal Aval Yisur Kal Yisur Chomal Lo Chayel. The case of Almana is a case of an Yisur Kal vis-a-vis Achoso, and therefore Ein Yisur Chal al Yisur. But the case of Yom HaKippurim, so in other words, the Braisa had to derive the conclusion of no malchus for the Yisur Almana in the case of Achoso from a pasuk in order to establish that since there's an Yisur Kal, it's not Chal on the Yisur Chamur. But where we don't have that pasuk and that principle, namely if it's an Yisur Chamur to be Chal on Yisur Kal, then the Rabbanu would agree that Yisur Chal on Yisur. De'i Rabbi Shimon, if you're going to tell me that the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon, meaning the Braisa that says that the Kohen Gadol will not get Malchus for Almana if she's Achoso, is authored by Rabbi Shimon, who holds and derives this din of Ein Yisur Chal Yisur from the case in the Vela on Yom HaKippurim, is Hashda now that you taught me in the case of Nevela on Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Shimon holds that the reason why Yechayev also for Yom Kippur is Yisur Chomer al Yisur Kal. Shimon is of the opinion, I stand corrected, that if a person eats Nevela on Yom HaKippurim, he's potter from Kares for Nevela. That's a case of the Yisur Chomer of Yom Kippur on the Yisur Kal. And nevertheless, the Yisur Chomer is not Chal on top of Nevela, on top of the Yisur Kal. Is Yisur Kal al Yisur Chomer Miboy? Was there any need to derive from a pasuk that the Yisur Almana L'Kohen Gadol would not be Chal on Achoso? There it's a relationship of Yisur Kal al Yisur Chomer for sure. I would understand if there's Yisur Ein Yisur Chal Yisur even on Yisur Chomer, how much more so on Yisur Kal? And therefore, according to this second Lishna, it's clear that the Braisa is reflecting the Shita of the Chachamim and requires a drasha from Kiyikach to establish that in the case of Achoso, who's now a Grusha being married to a Kohen Gadol, there's no additional Iser of Almana. So now the Gemara rejects the proof of the logic of the Ika Diamre and says, you know what, we can assume the Braisa of Kohen Gadol and Achoso is Rabbi Shimon and Ein Yisur Chal Yisur. Nevertheless, why does the Braisa need to be Mechadish that Yisur Almana is not Chal and Yisur Achoso? I would have thought Yisuri Kahuna Shaini. I would have thought that although in general with regard to Yisuri B'Alma universally as the rule is Ein Yisur Chal Yisur, however, with regard to Kahuna, where the Torah adds additional mitzvos and additional Isurim, even Rav Shimon in this Hamamina might assume and admit that Isur is Chal al Isur. Kamash Balad, the Braisa wants to teach me that even in Isuri Kohuna, like other Isurim, the principle is Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. And therefore, even if Rav Shimon is the author of this Braisa, he still is compelled to have a special pasuk with regard to Isuri Kohuna to teach me Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. What exactly is the nature of the Isur Bia that engenders the status of Chalola to the woman who was subjected to that Bia? Amale Rav Popol Abaye, Yisrael Habala Choso Zona Mashvile, Chalola Mashvile. If a Yisrael has a relationship of Arayos with, in this case, his sister, she becomes a Zona. But Chalola Mashvile, what about her status as a Chalola? Does she become a Chalola through this Bias Nus? Olo Mashvile, or perhaps she does not become Chalola with a relationship with her own brother. What is Rav Papa's suffix? Mi Amrin, should we say Kal V'chomer? In the case of Chayvei Lavin, like, for example, Almona Grusho or other Psilikula, is Havio Chalola, is Chayvei Kris in the case of Achoso, certainly Lo Kolshkein, she becomes Chalola Dilma, Ein Chalola Ela Misurei Kuhuna. Only Bias Isur of Kuhuna, like Zona Chalola, Grusha, etc., that's what engenders a din of Chalolas in the Neveles. But not generally Surim, that are knowing even in a non-Kohen, those don't engender Chalolos. You need a certain Isur Kohuna in order to engender Chalolos, which is a Psul Kohuna. Amalei Abai responds, Ein Chalola Ela Misurei Kohuna Bilvad. That Enochinami, you're right. There is no Chalolos unless the violation was an Isur Kohuna. And therefore, in the case of Achoso, there would be no chalolos. Omar Rav Minohal Milsa the Omar Abonin in chalolos Misuri Kuhuna. From whence do we derive this? Where's the source for this halacha that chalolos is only Misuri Kuhuna? But not from Achoso, for example. This Sanya we learned in Ebraisa. And Ebraisa is going to dash in the Pasuk Almona Grusha chalolos Zonas Elo Yikach. What does Ebraisa want to teach us from this Pasuk? Lo Yomar. The Braisa has a problem. Lo Yomar Grusha b'Kohen Gadol. Why did the Torah have to mention in the parish of Kohen Gadol a Grusha that he cannot marry a Grusha? I know I mean the Kalvachomer b'Kohen Hejot. We can derive from if a Kohen Hejot is Osir b'Grusha, how much more so that a Kohen Gadol is Osir? I know I mean a Hash the Kohen Hejot Asura, Kohen Gadol mi boy Lama Nesra. So why did the Torah have to go out of its way to add Grusha to the Iser of Kohen Gadol? This must be to teach us Kshem Shechaluka Grusha Mizona V'Chalola is B'Kohen, I'm sorry, B'Kohen Hejot is Kach Chaluka B'Kohen Gadol. It's like Grusha is separated in the Lav and in Genesis Malkus, separate from Zona and Chalola. The Zona Chalola really can combine into one love. And now we're talking about a Kohen Hejot. So if the Kohen Hejot has relations with a Grusha, a Zona and a Chalola, he gets Malkus for Grusha as a separate set of Malkus for an independent Easter. Kach Chaluka of a Kohen Gadol. So too in a Kohen Gadol situation, he gets a separate Malkus for Grusha. So he must have Pshita. If a Kohen Hejot gets Malkus for Grusha, then certainly a Kohen Gadol should get a separate set of Malkus for Grusha, even if she's also a Zona of a Chalola. Is Migra Gara, because he has the Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol, his Kedusha goes down a Madrega? Ela, but rather, Kishem Shechaluka Grusha, Mizona, V'Chalola, V'Kohen Hejot, Kach Almona, Chaluka migrusha v'chalola v'zona v'kohen gadol. We're talking now, according to this new interpretation of the Braisa, about the following scenario. A kohen gadol has relations with a woman who's an almona, a grusha, a chalola, and a zona, and he's chayv malchus for each one of them. And the Braisa is establishing this limud from Kohen Hejot in the following way, that just like in the case of a Kohen Hejot, Grusha, Zona, and Chalola are separate lavim, and he gets Malkus for each one of them, so too, in the case of Kohen Gadol, when we add Almana to the list, is Almana is Chaluka Migrusha Chalola Vizona, and he gets an additional set of Malkus for violating Almana as a category unto itself in a lav bifnei atzmo. And although we're in the middle of this brisa, I do think that we should take a little bit of a break. Gemara is going to analyze this pasuk by Kohen Gadol, which specifies, the Torah specifies almana grusha chalola v'zona as kol elo yikach. I mean, once we have almana, fine. That's a chiddush in Kohen Gadol that doesn't apply to Kohen Hedger, but why do you have to repeat grusha v'chalola zona? Again, the logic of the Gemara is migra gara. Does the kedusha of a Kohen Gadol fall shy of that of a Kohen Hedger that you have to repeat chalola, zona, and grusha? And that's what Chalol Lamanemra is going to be, and Zonan Lamanemra. We're going to try to derive Chidushim from each one of these cases that are specified by the Torah with regard to Almana. And that'll take us from Yirtz Hashem all the way up to Daf Ayin Ches Pamed Aleph. And Bli Neder, we'll try to conclude that in the next year.